When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah.
Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, coming to you live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Happy hour Friday from the bar. Always great. Holiday season, Christmas less than a week away, and our buddies from Chattanooga Whiskey literally just dropped off a box of
liquor
before the show started. So, I mean, happy Friday, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, man. It's a beautiful Friday. And as our friends over, my man D over at Chattanooga Whiskey dropped us off some bottles. First thing to start the show. So that is going to be a great way to have a great Christmas feel and vibe, because this is what I put in my eggnog
on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So, you know, I got some bottles and everything, and then maybe, you know, a gift or two to somebody else. So
Can I put that in a carry-on?
You cannot.
Oh, I can't?
You cannot. Oh. But the best thing for you to do, and I will advise this, give it to Abe.
What?
No, Abe's going on a cruise soon, so we're going to see Abe. So I have to be
Abe's an alcoholic.
So I have to be responsible enough to bring your bottles of Chattanooga whiskey to work.
I believe that you can do that.
You think so?
Because after our 5-year anniversary party, you trusted me to hold on to your Chattanooga whiskey bottles until you got back from your trip.
I did.
And you know what I did?
You held on to it.
I sipped a little bit of it. I brought it to you. I didn't open it. Yeah.
But,
I can't take that with me, huh?
No, you can't take it with you, dog.
Okay. If I check the bag?
Yeah, if you check, you can.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. If you check the bag, you can. But, yeah, again, our people, Chattanooga Whiskey, been a great, big-time, you know, friend of the program, friend of the station. So, again, appreciate them and everything for they do.
No doubt about
man.
It.
Yeah, man.
And I know we were just talking about it with Steak. I know everybody's been talking about it all morning long. What an incredible football weekend that lies ahead, and of course the college football playoff starts tonight. Indiana, Notre Dame. We'll spend a lot of time talking about all four of those games coming up this weekend. It's also nice to have a little bit of the juice restored to a Falcons matchup.
Yeah,
because if Kirk Cousins was starting on Sunday against the Giants, it would kind of be the same feeling we had Monday talking about the Falcons taking on the Raiders, which is, well, you should beat them, but hopefully you don't have to do it in spite of the quarterback.
Right.
Now we get to see the debut of the first-round draft pick that everybody's been clamoring for a month or so, and we get to see what he's got. Like, I'm – and I think a lot of people are, but I'm like, genuinely excited for 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon to get here. More than – like, you're always excited for a Falcons game. There's only so few of them.
Right.
But, I mean, this is this could very well be the beginning of an era, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get it right, this is the beginning of a long tenure at quarterback for Michael Penix. And not to put – that much pressure on one game, but if this goes the way that they hope that it does, that's what this game is for him.
It better be. I think that, you know, when you go in a situation where your whole plan is to sit a rookie quarterback, and then you, first of all, you go out and you get a high profile expensive quarterback, and then you double down by taking a young quarterback that high in the draft, your plan is for this young player not to play. It's a disaster if it's not injury related to the quarterback. If it's not injury related to the high priced veteran quarterback,
which it isn't. Yeah.
And it's time for the rookie to play, it's disastrous. But now we've seen disaster quarterback situation. Saw what happened when the 49ers gave up all those picks for Trey Lance. But they managed, and then, you know, whatever, he's gone. I had another situation, but whenever you think of it that way, as far as him getting.
Was it one that worked out, or was it one that didn't work out?
It's one that works out.
Oh, okay.
It's one that works out. Yeah, because usually whenever you do this thing with quarterbacks, especially with the money aspect of it right now where he is, we're talking about those are drafted guys who are supposed to be the next coming or whatever. It just doesn't work. Somebody else takes their job and everything like that. This is a situation where he's going to be the starting quarterback next year. But they still didn't want – because I still think if Kirk Cousins was meh a little bit, I still think Michael Penix would have been the quarterback next year. But now you're in a situation where he has to play right now, and you need him to play well. Because if he plays well, you said this yesterday, if he plays well, and even if they don't make the playoffs, it'll give you a little, you know, and it goes
back. Then you can just blame everything on Kirk.
Exactly.
Not that they'll do that, but fans can just be like, you know what? Kirk was this. That's why the season went down the drain. Had Penix been the quarterback earlier, then who knows? You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you can sort of pin all the blame on one guy if Penix plays.
And then you said the perfect yesterday, because the one thing about Kirk, I don't think anybody's taking the contract, but it's going to be a large cap hit. But then we talked about the whole thing. My other example was what happened in Denver.
Yeah.
You know what? If he plays well, who gives a damn about that damn cap?
No one.
Who gives a damn about it?
Yeah,
you know,
no,
if he
no
plays
one.
Well, because you're going to be able to add some things kind of because he's going to be on a rookie contract for the next 3 years. So you'll be able to get out of that cap hell and everything like that. But you got to be able to hit on these draft picks. And that's where they have not done.
No.
And that's where they're not. That's why I asked yesterday. I said, if they don't make the playoffs, if he plays well, but they don't make the playoffs, somebody's got to take the blame for this. And I'm not talking about player-wise. I'm talking about somebody who made the decision. Because Arthur, I mean, and this is usually what happens. Somebody takes the blame. I'm not saying Ross. Ross is not far enough in his tenure to be like, okay, I'll fire the coordinators. It's not that. It's going to be somebody. Heads will roll. If they don't make the playoffs, even though Michael Penix plays good,
yeah.
You might be able to go to Arthur Blank after the last game and be like, well, he played good. We drafted him.
Right.
So let's see how we can develop him.
I hadn't thought about it like that until you just said that a minute ago was if Penix plays well, there's a lot of different tangents of what can be argued if Penix plays well. Obviously, that would mean the Falcons win games.
Right.
They would have an above 500 record at the end of the season. You'd feel good about him and the future and all that kind of stuff. You could then at least argue a little bit that the draft was good.
Yeah.
Because right now, last year's draft was not good.
No.
Like, no one's done anything.
Man.
I mean, Ruka Rororo finally played again last week. He's been injured, so it's hard to really say one way or the other. Braylon Trice hadn't played a snap because he's been injured the entire season.
Right.
And then beyond that, nobody. I mean, J.D. Bertrand has been the most productive draft pick because Penix has been sitting behind Cousins. So if Penix goes out there and balls for 3 weeks, then you nailed the most important position with your first-round draft. Well, it's hard to say nailed, but you can argue that you did after a very small sample size. But yeah, maybe that would save face on the draft as well.
Yeah, because
this is not the first draft that if you start, you know, looking through the names, they haven't been great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean.
That's one of the reasons why in year four we're still really hoping the team can get more than 7 wins. 7 wins has been the high water mark every year of the Terry Fontenot era, including this one up until right now. Now, you can beat the Giants on Sunday.
Yes.
You better beat the Giants on
Sunday.
And then you get to 8, and then there's a new high water mark for the Terry Fontenot era. Still not great.
Yeah.
You're hoping to get the double digits, which you can get to this year if you win the final 3 games of the season. But, yeah, I mean, it's a whole obviously, from an on-field football wins and losses perspective, which is the most important thing, there's a lot that can be done in the final 3 weeks.
Yep.
There's a whole PR, like, change of momentum, change of mindset that they can put with the fan base in 3 weeks as well if Penix plays good.
Dude, because this is it's bad. It's a bad situation that they're in.
Last month and a half has been a disaster.
That can be salvaged, can have people – like, not in their feelings as much. But then it'll get to the point, if it goes well, then it'll go back to, well, why didn't he play earlier?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Why didn't he play earlier?
That's
Kirk
true.
Was playing back. Because
but you'd rather have that than all of the other stuff that's going
no
on
No doubt
right
about
now.
It. So that's why, you know, it'll be in that same situation. Because, I mean, we just will say it again. I don't know. No, there's no way. There's no way that Ra and Terry and, hell, even Arthur Blank could have predicted the way the quarterback was playing that it would go like this. Because I've never seen it before, so that's my biggest thing as far as – remember I mentioned yesterday, could that be a selling point also? Come on, man, Arthur. This never happens.
Yeah.
He was playing well. He's won 2 NFL players a week.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing at a high level. I think he was a 3rd in QBR and all these other things.
After that Cowboys game, I think
Cowboys
he was 3rd in the league in passing. 3rd
in the league in passing. And then I don't know what happened. He ate some bad lobster tails or something. And just fell off. You know, I mean.
What was it? It was right around Halloween. Maybe he got.
Maybe he had
bad
candy corn.
Candy apple or
something.
I don't know.
He's over there eating the damn popcorn balls. Miss Miss Felicia's popcorn balls.
He ate somebody's homemade Halloween treats.
That could have been it.
That's what it was.
I don't. It got to be some dog or less. Like we said, he was just hurt. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm anxious to see how he goes. Now, they got to play well around him. They got to continue to do the things that they do well as far as running the football defensively. You know, sacks are there because they're playing tighter coverage and everything. They should have a field day against this badass Giants offensive line. They're just a bad football team.
Yeah.
You know,
this is not very often you get to say this as blatantly and boldly as we've said twice this week, but that was the mantra Monday against the Raiders, and it was true. Thank goodness it was true, because if the Raiders were even decent, they would have won that football game. The same thing is true today. The two worst teams in the NFL.
Yes.
And it skin of your teeth to beat them on Monday night because of the way that Kirk Cousins played. I mean, it's not very often that a veteran $100 million quarterback gets replaced ever, especially after a win.
Yes.
Like, that's how bad it was.
They won the game.
They won the game. They won the game. Like, just barely beating Desmond Ridder is bad enough to get you benched. And that's what happened on Monday Night Football.
They won the game.
They won the football game, and they'd seen enough.
Yep.
So now you get a chance to play. And technically, I read this morning, but whatever, you're splitting hairs. The Raiders have a better strength of schedule than the Giants.
Oh, God.
So the Giants actually are the worst team in the NFL.
I mean, who if the draft was the day, the Giants had a first pick, right?
I think the Raiders would hang on. That was – I think yes,
okay,
yes, they would.
Okay.
Because of that, because of the strength.
And that goes back to what we said. They don't want to win.
No, they don't. They want Shedeur Sanders.
They want Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Or Cam Ward.
Whichever one
falls them. They want that guy right there. And so they're coming in into Atlanta with the mentality of, okay, and I'm just talking about the people who make calls and all that else. I'm not talking about the dudes who are going to strap on those helmets on Sunday, because you out there to play to win every time. But if the talent around you can't do that, then you're bad. Now, Michael's going to have – you know, and I kept thinking all week, I was like, I keep saying something wrong all week. Yeah, Dexter Lawrence is out.
Yeah,
Dexter Lawrence is out, but they still have Brian Burns, and we saw what he did, what he usually does to Atlanta. And so you got to deal with that aspect, and he's going to be coming off of Michael's backside, you know, because of the fact that he's a lefty, and Brian Burns, I'm 100% sure they're going to put him over Caleb McGarry.
Last time he lined up over Caleb McGarry?
Exactly, so that's something that's going to have to be contained.
Who was the quarterback?
Was it Marcus?
No, it was last year.
Oh, it was Ridder then.
It was Ridder. He almost killed him.
Like, he not, because that was the thing we were talking about. He don't need to play, because didn't he hold out or something?
Remember that?
Like
we were like, we didn't need to play.
Yeah, he don't need to play.
I mean, if you're this committed to your holdout, then go ahead and don't play.
Yeah, man,
he played.
Wasn't the first play of the game, he just blew up a whole damn play?
I think it was a strip sack.
Yeah.
The first, him and, Derrick Brown, right?
Yes.
Him and Derrick Brown, they couldn't block him.
Nope.
It was like, this is what it's going to be like this year, huh?
Yeah, man.
Turns out it was. This hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending, including what do you expect it to look like for Penix on Sunday? Like, how much are they going to let him go? How much are they going to open up the offense? We'll get to that and more coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to do what we do. You've seen a good part of our offense, a majority of part of it. You know, obviously, Michael's a little bit more mobile just because of the youth. He didn't show that necessarily in college, but the youth makes him a little bit more mobile, being able to move around a little bit more. The young man, he can execute everything that we want to do. I mean, obviously, he has a live arm. He can do all the things that we're going to ask him to do. He's got great accuracy, got great touch. And, you know, it'll look very similar to what you know, and we just got to go out there and execute.
So that's Raheem Morris yesterday talking about how things might look a little bit different with Michael Penix under center, making his first career start on Sunday for the Atlanta Falcons. Hopefully it looks quite a bit different.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, all the stuff he says there is true. Depends on what part of his college career you watch to talk about his mobility. He ran a lot when he was at Indiana,
yes.
But obviously injuries sort of slowed down and just kind of used him differently when he was at Washington.
Yeah.
He's such a great arm and such an accurate passer, and that offense that he was in there with Kalen DeBoer and those wide receivers that they had, it was the right thing to do.
Right.
Still, will be able to keep plays alive longer, will be able to move up in the pocket or reestablish the pocket the way that Kirk wasn't able to do the last couple of months. So that's really different. He's also just, I mean, whatever day of Kirk's life he had his best arm, whenever, it's not today, but
no.
Whatever day it was.
Yes.
Penix had a better arm that day too.
Yeah,
like he has a much stronger, stronger throwing arm than Cousins does. So it'd be interesting to see how they utilize that in his first start. Are they going to let him? Air it out? Or are they going to rein him in?
I think a lot of times you always want to, you know, as far as quarterback, not necessarily hide him, but not put too much on him in their first start. I thought about this morning, like give him a shot a quarter.
Yeah.
Give him a shot a quarter.
Fair enough.
You know, if it's there, you give him a shot.
Yeah.
I think you give him a shot a quarter. But I think that they're going to rely on the run game. They're going to rely on Bijan and Tyler and everything like that. Get into some play action passes and try to get him more and more comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing is with a young quarterback making his first NFL start, you got to get him comfortable. And get him comfortable early. You know what I mean? You don't want, you know, you go and he's one of four or something like that. You want to try and get him some early completions
And
everything like that. And you know, as far as, you know, how you protect them and everything, you want to make sure there's somebody over there. Okay, the less pressure early, the better. You know, because the one thing about it is they're going to play eighth man in the box, somebody the Giants. They're not going to back off and all those everything because Michael ain't peen done nothing for you to do that. He has to bring them up out of that. And it starts off with Bijan being able to run the football.
Wouldn't it be tempting, and maybe this is me just
first play of the game.
First play of the game.
Remember,
Wouldn't it be tempting? Remember, what was it?
Any given Sunday when in the championship game, whenever they played Dallas and Al Pacino went to Jamie Foxx. Let's go out to the gate. 999.
Yeah.
He threw a pick. But
that part we don't need.
Yeah, we don't need that part.
Just a little play action to Bijan.
Yeah.
We got to
get it right out the gate. 999.
Mooney's deep and just let it fly. Just let everybody see what you're working with.
And
first
it could
play.
Happen.
If I'm Zach Robinson, I would not be able to resist Zach Robinson.
I'm pretty sure the first play of the game is going to be a pass.
Should be.
I think first play of the game.
Yeah, let him get in the rhythm.
Yeah, I think the first play of
the game. Here's the thing about Michael Penix in his years at Washington. This is something that he certainly can improve upon. I'm sure he will in his career. But his games tended to go the way they started. If he started out hot,
right.
Like in rhythm, completing passes, feeling good, the game was going to go like that.
Right.
If they kind of knocked him off his spot and he started off a little spotty, it was going to take him a while to get
right.
back into rhythm.
Right.
Like, and I don't know why that was, but for whatever reason, that tended to be true. Like, however the first drive or two went, that tended to be the way the game was going to go.
Right.
If he struggled in the first drive or two, he might struggle. And then he was going to make some throws, and they won a lot of those football games. But he didn't have a lot of games where he started slow and then found it in the second half and just got into a crazy rhythm and had a huge day. If he had a huge day, which he did have a lot of huge days, they started out great. And they kept on going
right.
great the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very important because, again, he's a young player making his first start. We know he has the talent. We understand the physical, you know, God-given ability that this young man has. You know, but it's a different game that he's playing now. I know the Giants stink, but they're still an NFL team. And so, you know, it's going to be a process of him just trying to get better and grow into the position. He has three games this year and hopefully more after these three games.
Yeah, maybe four, maybe five.
Maybe four, maybe five. But, I mean, they got to get the one first. And they're playing against a bad opponent who doesn't want to win any football games. They're not good. They have a horrible secondary.
Yeah,
they have a horrible bad linebackers. I mean, they're not a very good football team, but they're still NFL players, most of them. And so
for this week.
Yes, yes. They have a disruptor. All right, they have a disruptor who this team, this organization is familiar with playing Carolina all those years, and he's going to play. He's actually going to play on Sunday, so I think
we're pretty sure.
Yeah, pretty sure Brian Burns and Thibodeau's going to play. So if you got to take care of those edges, but yeah, it starts with seven though. It starts with Bijan because he's in the zone right now. He ran so hard last Monday out there in Vegas. So got to continue to get him going. I like it when Tyler Algiers has 10-plus carries, stuff's going good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Stuff's going good as far as being able to run the football. So if they're in that area somewhere, then I could see them finding a way to get them a few shots here and there. But more than anything, just keeping the ball on the ground. But you got to mix it up. You can't be as predictable as you were in Vegas. You can't have 23 damn runs on first down. You got to mix those things up. And I think Mike gives you the ability to do that.
Yeah, they had 24 first and 10s on that Monday Night Football game against the Raiders. 23 of them were handoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe mix in some play action there. Try to keep the Giants on their heels a little bit. Very much looking forward to it. Obviously, we'll be talking about what to expect as the day unfolds. Roddy Nabalsi is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk some Georgia with him. Got some official news on Carson Beck yesterday, which we'll talk about with Roddy. He's not going to play on New Year's Day. Sounds very much like he's not going to play no matter how long the season goes for Georgia. Indiana and Notre Dame kick off the college football playoff tonight, though. At Notre Dame.
Yeah, man.
In the stadium.
Yes.
It's already snowing in South Bend. Yes. Saw some videos from South Bend this morning. It's snowing. So that's going to be a ton of fun.
The funniest thing always.
On campus playoff games.
You know what we always pick at Tony Gonzalez because how cold he be looking at everything on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be so funny today watching Nick. Watching Nick Saban to go. Because I played for Nick when we had to go to Buffalo. And Nick couldn't put on enough coats. That was the game that he told him to turn off the damn heaters.
He's got 30 coats on and he wouldn't let you guys have a coat?
Yeah, that's what the game was. He's talking about taking jackets and cutting off the heated bench. I mean, so I can't wait to see him and damn Desmond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, him and damn Des. Des going to have all kind of scarves and scullies and gloves and everything on. But, yeah, it's going to be funny. But, yeah, it's because Indiana, I think, I don't say we overlook it. We just don't give them their respect. They're a good football team, Andy. They're a really good football team. And the biggest thing that Indiana doesn't do, they don't beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over a lot. They can stop the run. And I think the biggest thing with them is can they handle Notre Dame's physicality on Notre Dame defense?
Because
they are a physical bunch over there on the defensive side of football. I'm pretty sure correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Notre Dame's running back, their good runner, did he get banged up?
He has been banged up.
He's been banged up or something like that.
But I think this
time gave him
time off.
Okay. So he should be good to go and everything like that. And their quarterback is finding his groove. Now, his biggest thing is he can run the damn football. He can run the football.
To me, that should be the difference in the game is Notre Dame's ability to use their quarterback in the run game and having their healthy running back. And just, like, look, Notre Dame just has – dudes on the offensive and defensive line. They have NFL players on those lines.
Yes.
Not to say that Indiana doesn't, because they've got talented guys too. But that's where they lost to Ohio State.
Yes.
Ohio State just had that top-level talent that they don't have, and they were able to out-physical them and out-athlete them. I'm interested to see, because I think Indiana is a very good football team. I think Notre Dame is too. Notre Dame's not special.
Right.
They're not a special team. I think Indiana's going to give them a game.
I do too.
Yeah. I think this will be a good one.
I think it's going to be, the thing, Indiana's, they're so efficient on offense. Like they don't have a lot of negative plays. They don't take them all. But I think the biggest, they take whatever you give them.
Yeah.
And so
they're just smart. Older football players, they got a lot of like 23, 24-year-old transfers from James Madison and other places like that. A lot of them have played games together before. Again, like that all matters to a point. It didn't matter against Ohio State because Ohio State just had more talent. But I think it'll matter tonight. At least I hope that it does. The Hawks played a fun one last night, man. They gave the Spurs everything they could handle. Probably should have won that game right here, actually. This should have been an and one, and they should have won the game.
Now he bounces it into Larry Nance. Larry hands it off to DeAndre Hunter. He goes right to the basket. It jams!
That was
and he
damn
got
foul.
Fouled, but they didn't call it. He got knocked down. They didn't call the foul. They didn't call it, but we're tied at 120 right now.
Where did the double tech come from?
Him and Wimby, I guess.
What did Wimby get a tech for?
I don't know. For getting dunked on.
Yeah, Wimby got dunked on. He didn't do anything.
for getting dunked on.
He got his ass jammed on.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, you know, that's they didn't call the foul. So
yeah, whatever, man. That was a crap double tech, but I'll take it. Whatever. But that was a hell of a play by DeAndre who played his ass off.
That was a great play call. That was a great play call in that moment to get him with a head of steam coming downhill.
He had to dunk that ball because he would have laid up. Oh, Wemby would have blocked it.
Well, Wemby blocked 10 other shots in the game when guys went up soft.
Go strong, just like D did, and put his long, lanky ass in the rim,
dude,
which
that
he did.
He's a freak.
But he still went off.
Then Wemby was like, oh, you're going to dunk on me and talk trash? All right, I'm going to score 15 points in overtime and send you guys packing.
And then he went off in the overtime period and everything. But, yeah, I mean, they played really, really well. And I thought that, you know, if he – No, never mind. I was like, they had another body to throw at him. He was abusing every damn body.
It would have been nice to have a Congo.
Just a little more athletic guy.
Yeah.
A little bit more athletic on the perimeter.
And I thought it was I thought it was a good idea to have Larry Nance Jr. on him because he's a little bit more
shifty.
Capella has no
ability
to step out.
We understand that.
And look, no one really can. Like, they threw a bunch of different bodies at him, and he's 7'5". He just shoots over everybody. Yeah, and he doesn't mind shooting 5 feet behind the three-point line. So, I don't know. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do against him. And he still doesn't have it figured out at all. Yeah. Like, when he figures out all of his angles and all of his bag, like,
he's trouble.
It is. It's just going to be trouble. It's going to be total trouble.
Well,
how did all good. I hit my prize picks last night.
There you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
I had Jalen Johnson getting more than 19.5 points and Julian Champagne going under whatever he had.
Who the hell is Julian Champagne?
Yeah, a little bench guy for the Spurs.
I got a question for you. All right. Why does this – I know he has Dennis Rodman's number on, all right, for the Spurs.
Yeah.
But, dude, that lime green, whatever, that looks so raggedy.
It's loud.
It's so raggedy. I thought it was a damn clown wig.
You thought it was – it looks like a wig.
A damn clown wig.
Yeah, no. Come on, boy.
Just because you got Dennis Rodman's number on.
Plays for the Spurs, wears number 10, has lime green hair.
Whatever.
He's a pretty good player, too. But, yeah, that's
– like a damn fool.
Yeah. Chris Paul, man.
Everywhere he goes.
Chris Paul, he didn't do much from an offensive standpoint all game, and then a couple dagger threes late in the fourth quarter and in overtime. Just a good player, man. Continues to be a good player. All right, we'll come back. Roddy Nabalsi is going to join us from UGASports.com. We'll get all the info he has on Carson Beck and everything going on with that injury. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. It's a happy hour Friday. The bar is open. Drinks are flowing. There's a lot of people here, actually. I mean, maybe it's an early, like, release holiday Friday.
Hell yeah.
I know schools get out at, like, noon. Maybe work does, too.
I don't know.
Come on down. Get some. I'm not talking to the school kids.
Oh, that's like, all right, yeah.
Kids don't drink.
Yeah, I'll come down here with that.
Yeah, the adults, 21 and over. Come down and get some drinks on a happy hour Friday. Roddy Nabalsi will join us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What the hell?
Roddy's Roddy's knowledge.
This is a chill day. I'm assuming you got backwoods and all that.
Yeah, you don't have to play, so you could just sort of kick back.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Roddy can explain it. Roddy Nabalsi joins us every Friday at 11:40 during the Georgia football season, UGASports.com. He always picks his walk-up music, and it's always related to what's going on with Georgia. Georgia doesn't play this week. They have a bye in the first round of the college football playoff. How's it going, Roddy?
What up, Rod?
Going fine, gentlemen. Doing fine. This is called Chill Bill, and it's a chill weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. They get to sit back and whistle and think about, you know, hey, who's going to play? They're not up in that god-awful cold that we saw at Notre Dame and snow and everything. They get to take on whoever wins that game, so they're just waiting.
Do you think – I mean, they would never say they do, so I'll just ask you if you do. Do you have a preference between the two teams, Indiana and Notre Dame? That's another thing, obviously, for Georgia fans to be watching tonight. That's your opponent, so watching them closely. But do you have a preference as to who Georgia would want to play?
Yeah, personally, I absolutely want Indiana. I don't like the thought of facing Notre Dame. They did lose to NIU, and I basically jinxed them by saying they don't belong in the playoffs, which means they'll face Georgia and probably win. But – Just to make it look bad. But it's a situation where I think that Indiana has not faced anybody tough. And I like, Georgia's chances on the big stage versus a team that hasn't been there before.
Hey, Rod, I think, you know, the news came out about Carson, but I don't think anybody was surprised by the fact that he was not going to play in his game. And obviously Gunnar Stockton is going to be the starting quarterback. But I had a question because I wanted to think about what since Kirby's been here, what do you think this offense, which team do you think this offense will resemble with him at the quarterback position?
Well, it's going to be the exact same offense. It's just it'll look more like Stetson Bennett's when he was here because, I mean, think about how many times Carson Beck, if he had just kept the ball on one of those read options, he'd still be running. I mean, there's just, you know, there's so many times you're like, Carson, just tuck it and run, go. But you know that, you know, that he's their number one guy, and Kirby Smart doesn't like to have his quarterback run a whole lot. You know, when you don't have a clear and ready backup. But Stetson Bennett won you some games with his legs, and then all of a sudden, mid-season, Carson Beck started doing that, and there are three or four plays that absolutely changed the outcome when he decided to take off running. So now you've got a guy that you can call a pure quarterback draw on. You know, you can call GH counter and let him follow. So I like the idea that he gives him a threat. And, you know, the weak side guy, the non-play side guy, can't just crash in like he has been.
Right.
Were you surprised that the Carson Beck stuff kind of officially came out this week about him not being able to play on New Year's Day? I know Kirby would have loved to have had it be at least a bit of a mystery leading up to game time.
It blew my mind. Everyone, all of a sudden, I started getting calls like, do you have the Carson Beck news? And I'm like, hell yeah, we reported on December 9th.
Yeah.
Right.
And then on the 10th, we broke the news that he was going out to look for a second opinions and third opinions. This is not news to us. And all of a sudden, we saw like breaking and stuff like that. I'm like, what the hell, people? Don't you read UGA Sports? We've known this for 2 weeks. So it did kind of blow my mind a little bit. I'm like, this is not news. We told you he wasn't going to play in that game. And we said that he's most likely done for the playoffs. But if he gets something, if he hears something different out in California, which is where he went, maybe he's back for January 20th. But it doesn't look like it. You don't get a second opinion if you like the first thing you heard.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Rod, what do you think he does? As far as, because he does technically can't come back. Now, I was up there that Saturday when he walked out with the seniors and everything like that. But if this injury is where it is, he probably won't be able to you know, do anything for a while if it's the injury that a lot of people are predicting. What do you think deep down that he does?
It has been odd. He has not really been talking with the staff a whole lot.
Okay.
Because he's still in the, you know, gathering information stage. So he hasn't really told them exactly, you know, where his mind is on this. But, again, complete speculation on my part. He came back for his senior year. That was it. And he would make a lot of money playing. Remember, George basically gave him, you know, $1.5 million to come back. Well, he's made a lot of other deals since then, so he's being paid really well. So it's not like he's dying to get to the NFL and get paid. But he also, hey, what happens in college? You can get hurt. So go ahead and get to the league. And, you know, the NFL is in dire need of good quarterbacks. He's a good quarterback. So he sees his market. And, again, just like running backs, he has a limited shelf life. He can't spend all his time in college. So I'm pretty sure he's gone. I'm pretty sure he's done for the year. And he's going to go off to the NFL. And, you know, that's a lot of why this rehab and these second opinions are, is to get prepped for the NFL.
Rodney Nabalsi joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy from UGASports.com, talking some Georgia football, college football in general as well. Just give me your thoughts on kind of the way the last couple weeks have gone down. I mean, we're all looking forward to the playoff and the bowls are fun, all that stuff, but the transfer portal opening and signing day and people opting out of bowl games so they can transfer other places, opting out of playoff games so they can transfer other places. Like, what has been your... what has been your feeling on the way this has all gone the last couple of weeks?
I can't use those words. I'm on radio, so if you follow us on TikTok, we can use those words, but we can't use them here. It has been a bad situation. And you look at the Penn State QB, who basically wants to play at Penn State, but you know, he knows he's a backup quarterback. He knows he has to go somewhere else, and he has to leave them in the middle of the playoffs. He doesn't want to do that. It'd be like Jalen Walker saying, "Look, I got to go. I know I'm a team leader. I know everybody loves me, and I love it here, but, you know, the spots are disappearing." You don't want to see you lose a guy like that, but that's what they're forcing them to do with the way the transfer portal set up. And my thing is, you need to set it so that it's just in the spring, I know everyone says, hey, well, then you miss spring ball. Well, too bad. You know, if you want to leave and be able to play immediately, then you have to wait till the spring. Let the teams get through the playoffs. Let everybody do what they're going to do, unless, of course, a coach is fired. But I think moving the timetable up for the signing classes was good, unless, you know, it wasn't quite as god-awful as it was last year. But maybe that also needs to be moved back, too, because you need to assess out of high school what your roster needs are, and you don't know what your roster needs are until after the transfer portal's over. So it's just a mess. It's getting better, but there's still weeks of DB dot, just like with the playoffs, though. And say, what about the playoffs? I love it. Everybody's so, you know, you got four games on campuses. Everybody's engaged. I think the playoffs, besides the automatic buys, that was stupid, but the rest of it's dumb. I mean, the rest of it's just people are thrilled about that besides that part of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Rod, there is no chance that Kirby loses any coaches, right? Because I was thinking about it, because what job would be out there? The first name that comes to mind is Glenn Schumann, obviously. But there's nothing really out there that would make him leave this job.
Well, I mean, there, you know, people came after Todd Harley. Some schools talked to Glenn Schumann. And I know they like everybody likes Mike Bobo. There's some teams that were looking out. I mean, Todd Harley, the Southern Miss job, was talking to him. He could still lose coaches, but here's the thing. If he doesn't, it'll be the first time in a long time. Remember, this year he's got four new coaches.
Right.
So, you know, he's lost coordinators. He's lost position coaches. He's lost Rand Brown, you know, a position coach to a head coaching job.
Right.
But if he's able to return all, you know, his entire staff, that will be first time in a long time. And I do want to give Coach a shout-out for you know, he's not going to win Coach of the Year, but this may be his best coaching job ever. So with the four new coaches and all that stuff, I'm impressed with the fact that with all the injuries and the losses in the NFL, the fact that they're the number two seed in the nation is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let me get your thoughts on, I know we talked a little bit about Indiana, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame. The other three that are going to be played tomorrow, what underdog do you feel like has the best chance?
I think, isn't Clemson the underdog in that game?
Oh, yeah, by 12.
Yeah. I know it sounds weird. They've been horrible. Georgia blew their doors off. But that team believes in itself. So I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm saying, if you say which underdog has the best chance, give me Clemson for just an absolute shock.
Hey, Rod, talk about Clemson. I just saw this morning, hey, Dabo, I guess he going into the portal to get him some guys. How about that?
That's kind of what – maybe that's their top of mind, just because I was so stunned by that they're the only one I'm thinking of right off the bat. But, yeah, that had a lot to do with it. I'm like, hey – he's going to adapt, you know. Hey, it's adapt or disappear, you know. If you want to get adapt to survive, and it's not like players aren't, you know. He can say, look, we're not going to go to the portal, but that doesn't mean his players won't go to the portal. So, you know, it's kind of like fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So here's a situation where he's like, you know, we could, there's some guys who want to come play at Clemson. Remember, he's got a national championship. He is a legendary coach. You know, he's going into the Hall of Fame at some point for what he's done at Clemson. Clemson gets a lot of guys drafted. They're an attractive school. And so, and remember, back in the day, Randy's days, they paid players pretty well. So they can do it again.
Way to go. Way to go, Rod. That was an unnecessary shot.
Roddy, thank you. Great stuff as always.
I appreciate you, Rod.
Take care, guys.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com, hanging out at home watching this weekend.
I think Dabo, like, they call him.
Well, here's the thing about Dabo is, as the years go on, all the stuff that he says they're not going to do, they just do it.
Yes.
He's just like, NIL, we're in the name, image, and likeness of our
– the Lord.
They had like a $17 million NIL package.
Dude, I'm just saying right now.
Like,
and these kids want to go. Clemson is an A-plus program.
Sure.
Right? Dabo's an A-plus coach.
Yeah.
The more he goes into it, the better they're going to be.
Yeah, he's going to get transfers. They have NIL deals.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know.
Name, image, and lordness or whatever.
Name, image, and likeness of the Lord. Which, even though they do it, is still, like, that's the number one seed for one of the funniest things a college football coach has said in the last decade. Just so good. It's so good.
Unbelievable.
And yeah, so everything everybody said. Remember how buried Dabo was after Georgia beat him by a million week one of the season?
Yes.
Fire him, move on.
Yes.
He's in the playoffs.
What was that? What's the dude from Spartanburg?
He's
Tyler.
Tyler Spartanburg. Man, yeah. They stopped taking calls because of Tyler Spartanburg. And here we are.
God, dog, party over.
Fast forward a couple months, and Clemson's right back in the college football playoff. Now, it took a lot for them to get there, but they got there. And who knows? Maybe they'll upset Texas tomorrow afternoon. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour here as we broadcast live on a happy hour Friday from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come by and see us. We'll be here till 2. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.